from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
The Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, and we are joined right now on the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. By our Steelers insider from The Athletic, Mark Cabali. Good morning, Mark. How are you, big guy?
Wow, Crowley, you're a little bit too hyper for this early.
I'm a little rusty, too. A little rusty here. Cabali last night said, oh, you're finally working again. I am.
That's what I've been wondering, too, Cabali.
Listen, it's a load management season. I got paternity leave. Of course I'm going to use it.
Yeah. I see where your loyalty is. Not to Doran.
Definitely not to Callis either.
Well, definitely not to Callis, no. So I am back. Will Russell Wilson be back and participating tomorrow in the first day of pads, Mark?
I think so. I mean, worst case scenario being a limited capacity. I think this was the plan all along once he was forced to hit a blocking sled for some odd reason and tweaked his calf muscle. I think they pointed to this day on Tuesday, as always, the day. I'm not quite sure it will get the full workload, but I'm pretty sure he'll be out there. I mean, he's been working out there for the past couple of days. I mean, he snuck onto the field with some players, Najee and Jaylen Warren, on, I believe it was Friday evening, to practice a little bit. So I don't think it's anything serious. And hey, it's OTA number 14 is over, I guess. It's time to really ramp this up a little bit. So I think once that happened, I think this was the whole plan in the first place, to get him out here at some point this week, probably Tuesday.
Mark, first and foremost, what is your evaluation of Justin Fields so far? And second, could Justin Fields have a real opportunity to compete for the starting job?
I don't think so. I mean, unless this drags on a little bit more injury related. That's the whole caveat of this whole thing when we brought it in. I mean, if Russell Wilson does not get injured, I think obviously the snaps will go down. I don't think he still has that chance if it's just Russell Wilson coming in and you're looking at a guy who's going to outperform him. I just don't see that right now. I mean, Justin Fields has been getting better. I mean, the consistency is still lacking. He'll make some good throws and make some bad throws. I think they're really, really focusing on him for the most part, staying in the pocket. He's not really using the legs. I don't think they want him to use the legs to be able to learn here and get a little bit better at throwing the ball and being more consistent with his reads and more accurate with his reads. I'm not saying he hasn't gotten better. He has from the day one, but I just don't see it happening right now unless this drags on. Let's say Russell Wilson comes out Tuesday and that little twinge turns into a little bit more, then all of a sudden maybe the game's changed, but I don't view that happening at this point.
Mark Cabali joining us here on the Fan Morning Show. Much ado about nothing, this whole Zach Azani, George Pickens thing?
Well, right now, maybe. Yeah, I mean, Zach Cazzone is a madman, you know. He's out there with his gloves on and hitting sleds and hitting people. I mean, sure, those two got into a little spat the other day, but I believe it was Saturday. He went over and gave George a big hug after George caused a penalty on Joey Porter Jr., I believe, that would have resulted in the first down. He's just a very emotional guy. Right now, it's not a big deal, but I always worry, and you see the, what's that word I'm looking for? The chance of him being explosive in his personality, I'm talking about George Pickens, if things don't go his way, and if that happens here more and more where he doesn't get the ball and the balls are not thrown properly to him and there's missed opportunities to him, then he is going to react. Then Zach is on. He's going to react to that. So there's always that thought of it could be volatile coming up if things – I'm going to put it this way. This is not going to be the last time this happens. But, hey, you give him some tough love, you bicker back and forth, and you just move on. If that's the case, there's nothing wrong with that.
Mark, which rookie has been most impressive to you?
Well, I mean, Roman Wilson was pretty good the other day. Two days ago, he was really good out there. It's tough because, like I always say, there's a lot of young guys on the offensive line are just, you know, for the lack of better terms, going through the motions right now. I mean, you really haven't noticed Zach Frazier much at all other than, you know, running laps after being called for a pre-snap penalty or something like that. But that's that will change on Tuesday. The pads come on. All of a sudden, the one-on-one drills start to hit. Then you'll be able to see where those guys are. And you got three of their first, what, four picks, five picks or offensive linemen or potential offense. I mean, for Frazier and Batano and McCormick. So we'll see more of that right now. But you'd have to say Roman Wilson, especially at that position, to be able to at least stand out in that a number of wide receivers. They got a dozen wide receivers, and you have guys like Kyle Allen throwing him the ball. For him to stand out in a couple practices has been pretty impressive.
Mark Cabali joining us here on the Fan Morning Show. Talk corner to me, Mark. How's it looking beyond Joey Porter?
Well, Joey, first of all, we can't just skip over Joey Porter. I think he's going to be a star. I mean, we're looking easy top 10 in the league, in my opinion.
Oh.
Might be able to push it a little bit higher than that this year. And that's, if you look at that cornerback position in the NFL, it's pretty loaded with talented players. That's, I think, how good Joey Porter has been, will be, and will continue to get. I mean, Dante Jackson, what you can see from him right now, I mean, he looks like a pretty solid number two guy, you know. They've been putting him on George Pickens a lot. He's been holding his own. There's no glaring issues you've seen from him yet where early last year when you saw Patrick Peterson, you're like, man, geez, he's not that quick anymore. He's not that fast anymore. You don't see that from Dante Jackson in this type of setting so far. So I think that's been a little bit of a quiet positive of a guy that you're not going to really have to worry about right now. Maybe if somebody gets injured and whatever, you have to move some guys around, but you can see why the Steelers went after him. I think he's going to be a solid calming force at that number two position. So as of right now, I think he's looking pretty good too.
Mark, from everything that you've watched the past couple of days, can you see this receiving core panning out this year without adding anybody?
I think it might have to.
Do you think that they have enough? I mean, from the reps that you've seen,
it's going to have to be a collective effort, you know. So we're going to have to put the onus back on guys like Zach Cazzone and especially Arthur Smith to be able to get the right guys in the right situation. It's just not going to be your run of the mill. Okay, it's our number two guy. It's just not going to happen. I mean, you're going to see Freiermuth obviously having a tremendous camp, picked up where he left off at in OTAs. He's going to have to contribute big numbers. Then you're going to have Roman Wilson have a game or two. You're going to have Van Jefferson in there. You're going to have Calvin Austin have a couple series or a couple games. I think it's going to be by committee as that number two stat-wise. So is that enough? I don't know if that's enough to keep George Pickens free and happy, but you're going to have a Arthur Smith who's quite different in his scheming and his play calling than the previous guy and get George Pickens into single-man coverage by different formations and motions. That's going to be a key right now. But I think if you put it to that position of one guy being that guy, you're going to say, okay, it's going to be Marquez Callaway. Nah, that's just not going to happen. I think it's just going to be a group effort.
Mark, last thing here for you. You talk about Arthur Smith there, and what I wanted to hear or read or observe when I'm there is a night and day difference between last year's organization, last year's schematics, and this year's. I realize it's basically an extension of OTAs and minicamp right now, but are you seeing more work with a purpose? Are you seeing differences? Are you seeing, for lack of a better way of putting it, an NFL offense?
A plan, right?
Yes.
Yeah, you can see a plan going forward. He at least knows what he wants to do. And, you know, a key to this, too, is play calling game day type of situation. So that's not an easy thing. I mean, just to be able to get into a groove as a play caller, too, and knowing what you want to do and how you want to attack the other team rather than run your same, you know, six or seven plays. And you see that from Arthur Smith, and he does hold these guys more accountable. Well, not only him, the entire coaching staff seems much more disciplined than the previous people that were in there. So, like I said, so far so good, but he comes out there first game against Buffalo and throws some questionable play calls out there that you hear that may have came from one of his times in Atlanta and Tennessee. It's like, okay, then we have a little bit of an issue. But when you're comparing them to Matt Canada, yeah, night and day. It's like major leagues versus single A ball. You know, it's a little bit different.
Mm. Mark, we had to go 15 minutes with you for you to say anything worthwhile, but we appreciate you finishing on the crescendo there.
Hey, beers for Buckos, right?
See you, Mark.
See you, Mark.
Mark said he didn't want to join us on the video feed because he just woke up. And while I do love Mark Caballi, he always looks like he just woke up.
And he sounded like it, too.
He sure did. A little rambly there for Mark.
Yeah. May I interject for just a second?
Mm-hmm.
You see how Crowley fires shots at anybody?
Mm-hmm.
When have you heard me ever do that?
See, but now you know it's not just a you thing, Callis. It means that you're one. He's one of my favorite people.
So you just admitted you're a bad person.
To you, yeah, sometimes, sure. I think people will acknowledge that. Yeah. And Mark. And the people I'm closest to, frankly. Yeah.
Except for Doran.
Yeah, because he'd beat my ass into a pulp.
No, me, Neil, and Wayner, he doesn't do that to.
Mm-hmm. You can tweet me and Doran and Callis if you're so inclined. Brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. You can text us. Brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Nothing going right now on the trade deadline. I've been refreshing my feed, so nothing to report there, but we will get into it. Neil Walker joining us at 9. We've got Dan Zangrilli at 9:35. But up next, we react to some of what Mark Caballi had to say.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Say, more on the trade deadline coming up in about 10 minutes here. We've got Neil Walker at 9. We've got Dan Zangrilli at 9:35. So far, no moves made this morning in Major League Baseball. Should any happen, we will, of course, bring them to you. We had Mark Caboli live from Latrobe in the last segment, and he said that the difference between the Matt Canada Steelers offense and the Arthur Smith Steelers offense is night and day, and then took it a step further, calling one a Major League offense compared to a single A offense. Now, for me, it's not just good enough to be better than that guy. You can't just come in and go, we all go, oh, this is great. Like Arthur Smith is so much better than Matt Canada. Just the same way I don't look at Russell Wilson
or Justin Fields
and say, oh, they just need to be better than Kenny Pickett, Mason Rudolph, Mitch Trubisky. No, if this team is going to do anything, it can't just be an upgrade over what they have. Arthur Smith needs to coordinate a good offense. Russell Wilson needs to be a good quarterback. Is that fair?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, it depends on what the standard is. Is the standard just trying to make it to the playoffs? Is the standard trying to win AFC championships? Is the standard trying to make it to the Super Bowl? Is the standard trying to win a Super Bowl? And I would think that every single team in the NFL, all 32 teams right now, their goal is to what?
Win the Super Bowl.
Absolutely. So
Carolina, sorry. Arizona, sorry.
But your thought is that, hey, we're going to go after it this right. year, right? So if you're – that's your approach. And it can't be, hey, you got to be better than the last guy. It's got to be, you know, you have to be one of the best in the league. And Arthur Smith has a tough job this year because he's dealing with a receiving core that we just talked to Mark about that's going to take a unit to make that production. It's not going to take one guy. Can't just take two guys because they don't have that guy. So you're going to have to get creative. You have to get creative on the offensive line. You have some young players there. You have your stable of running backs, and you have to learn how to use them in certain situations, in the right situations. See, the thing about offense is, it's one thing to know the offense as a player and as an offensive coordinator to teach the offense. But then the next step is teaching and learning and executing how to attack a defense. Like, all right, I know the offense. You call the play in the huddle, I'll go out there, I'll run my route. But why am I running it? See, that's where they have to be next week. Like, In their NFL players, they know defenses, things of that nature, but the defensive things and the way to attack them within this offense, you have to learn that. And if you can do that, you could play, you know, all 11 football and you can win. You can win. You don't have to have superstars. But if you learn and know what you're doing, and Arthur Smith has a tough job of teaching that and why they're doing things, then they could be okay. It'd be pretty good.
I think if they're just better than what Matt Canada provided, that they can be a playoff team. I know the schedule's hard, believe me. But we saw it in the final few games last season when Mason Rudolph got in there and Matt Canada wasn't calling the plays. They were pretty good. They were pretty good. And I think that could get you to double-digit wins or right on the cusp. If you are going to be an AFC North contender, if you are going to be a contender to win games come January, you got to score. You got to score. And not turning the ball over, that's cute and it's important. I understand that. You can't be a scared offense. And that's what I thought they were last year. Like, they didn't let Kenny sling it in his first year. I think that was a huge mistake. Let him sling it. Let him learn from his mistakes. Let him throw it all over the place. And if you win, whoa, great. If you lose, so be it. Let him develop. That's what happens with a lot of young quarterbacks. They come into bad teams most of the time when you're a rookie quarterback, and you learn through failure. They wanted to try to handcuff Kenny to win games. They go 9-8. They just missed the playoffs. Then they handcuffed Kenny last year. And what happens? No development. I want to see this year's team try to score some points.
Yeah.
Try to score some points.
Take the game. Dictate the game.
Yes,
take
dictate the game.
Take the game to the defense.
Yes.
You have to. And I mean, just look around. I mean, I know that Miami isn't a team that has thought about of being a playoff, you know, caliber, going through the playoffs, gauntlet type team that, you know, may make it to a Super Bowl. But throughout the year, like, they're high powered and they take it to defenses. They take it to teams. Everybody is low key scared of Miami, but
they can put 70 on your ass.
Exactly. Exactly.
The Steelers, I guess what I was trying to say, and I could pick up on you understanding my rambling there as I'm working my way back out of my load management here. You need to try to win games on offense.
Yes.
Instead of saying, don't screw it up. We're running the ball and we're playing defense. That can get you so far.
Right.
That's but only so far. And that's what we saw last year. And then even at the end of the season, the defense was ravaged by injuries. You can't go into the season thinking, okay, we've got an incremental upgrade on our offense. We know we've got a quarterback that on third downs and in the red zone can make plays. You need to go into games knowing we got Kansas City on Christmas. We got the Philadelphia Eagles this year. We got a lot of great offenses on our schedule. Mike Tomlin, back when they had Ben, and I know that Russ ain't Ben, but I remember that game against the Colts where Ben threw six touchdowns. And I remember Mike Tomlin's postgame. We knew we had to keep scoring. We went into the game knowing we have to score points to win. I would like them to get to a point where every week you're game planning saying, we need to score 25, 28
points. Not just one specific game that's game plan specific towards a team
right. That
they know has firepower. No, like, do that against Cleveland.
Right.
Do that against Baltimore, you know, everybody.
Complimentary football can be a compliment, but sometimes I look at that and go, well, complimentary football. Go out there and try to score a bunch of points and then play with a lead and let your defense with T.J. Watt and Alex Highsmith and Patrick Queen and Cam Hayward rush the damn passer and close the game out. You could use your defense for that too. So just to hear, oh, it's night and day different than Canada's, great. Be nice if they're a good offense this year. All right, we worked through it.
Yeah, it's good.
Wheels were spinning early.
It's great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Coming up next, Pirates made a move yesterday. Does it mean something for today or tomorrow? We'll talk about that coming up next. Jack Sawinski gets optioned to AAA yesterday, and a lot of people on the social Dorn, oh, what does this mean? They're making room for another outfielder. They're going to bring someone in. Well, I think it's pretty clear that we're going to see Brian Reynolds on the team today.
Right.
He's coming back from the bereavement list. That's the corresponding move. We've actually seen some nice things out of Jiwon Bae.
Right.
And they probably see more value in Jiwon Bae being on the team right now than the horrifically slumping Jack Sawinski. So when I said going to break, the Pirates made a move and it might mean there's other moves to come. It's not because they were trying to create space for another move, I don't think. But follow me here for a second. Ben Cherington, Bob Nutting, Derek Shelton, those who cover the team, have all said, yes, the Pirates could and maybe will make moves. But the biggest moves are going to have to be the internal improvement. Well, the poster child for that was Jack Sawinski. So when they talk about internal improvement, internal improvement, internal improvement, the one guy I had earmarked for internal improvement was Jack Sawinski, who had 26 homers last year, who maybe should have made the All-Star game for how hot he was, OPS up over 800 going into the All-Star break. Well, they're waving the white flag on his improvement this year. He is not going to help the team, at least not in the short term. And so I do wonder if you give up on the potential of his power, if that might signal something is getting close someplace else.
Or they're preparing for that. I mean, that doesn't mean it'll actually go down. I think that's what you're saying. Like, they are going to create a spot for it in a different world. I don't know. Like, it maybe, maybe not. Or maybe they're just like, we just don't need that in the lineup. We feel better with somebody else.
Yeah, and it might be the internal improvement is
G1 Bay.
We just have a better player available to us than Jack Sawinski, and right. His name is G1 Bay.
Right.
Yeah, I think they gave him a lot of rope. I'm a little bit surprised, knowing what they've said about internal improvement, that they did send him down. They gave Rowdy Tellez forever, and he figured it out to the point where when he got hurt the other day, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
What are they going to do? They don't have Brian Reynolds now. They don't have Rowdy Tellez. What are they going to do? That's how important he is to the team. Now, I thought they'd continue to give Jack Sawinski more time, but even the ever patient Pittsburgh Pirates are now saying, yeah, he ain't got it. And that is a massive disappointment. And so it does make me hope that maybe something is on the horizon. What it also does is make me think about the development or lack thereof in some of these hitters.
Henry Davis can fall in line with that too.
Yes.
I mean, he's a AAA guy.
They might have screwed Henry Davis up so bad that if floated in the Jazz Chisholm deal, the Yankees didn't want him. Or excuse me, the Marlins didn't want him. I don't know that he was offered, but the Yankees did send their third best prospect, a catcher, back to the Marlins to get Jazz Chisholm. They might have screwed Henry Davis up so much in throwing him in right field, and now you're doing this, and you're going to be in Double A for this long, and da, 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 da. They might have screwed him up so bad that the Marlins, who clearly wanted catching, said, that first overall pick from a couple of years ago, what have you done for me lately? We don't want his ass.
Let's stick with Henry Davis for a second. What do you think the plan was for him this year if Andy Rodriguez didn't get hurt? And do you think that he would be better if he would have stuck with the plan initially in place if Andy didn't get hurt?
Man.
Like, would he have played catcher at all this year?
I think he would have been backup catcher, and they would have played him sometimes in right field and sometimes at DH.
When did they get Grandal?
Pretty late.
Like after Andy? Yeah, after Andy.
Yeah, definitely.
Because
yeah.
Andy got hurt like in November.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. So Grandal was basically an emergency ad. I think he would have been the second catcher behind Andy, who they have faith defensively in.
Not DeLay?
And, I mean, I think DeLay is your third catcher.
Okay.
I just think, I think they've handled him terribly.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've done a great job with Skeens. There's a huge developmental success story in Mitch Keller. You're seeing it right now with Luis Ortiz. They seem to have figured it out from a pitching standpoint. But Key Brian Hayes can't hit. I know he got the big hit last night, but it was 70 miles an hour off the bat. Like, that's just that guy needed some luck, and he got some luck. Off the end of the bat, drops in there. He cannot hit.
I felt bad for him. He hit a ground ball when a guy was stealing, and it was a double play. And, I mean, that's not his fault. That was solid contact.
What is it? He's hit in the 11 double plays this year?
Oh!
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It seems like anytime there's a big spot, he does hit into a double play. And you did have to laugh, if not for crying, that he hit into the one that you're talking about yesterday. They put the runner in motion so that Mr. Double Play doesn't hit into a double play, and it gets the middle infielder.
As well as you could on the ground, right up the middle, and it was, yeah. That was covering.
They're not developing hitters. They're not. Andrew McCutchen is Andrew McCutchen, and you sign him, and he's going to get on base because you can't screw him up. Brian Reynolds is just a good baseball player. Rowdy Tellez, you know, he's got a 700 OPS. He's one of the better hitters on the team. But I look at that Jazz Chisholm deal, and I wonder, like, I mean, you're kind of caught in between, because if he had been hitting, you're probably not going to trade him. And now they might want to trade him, but he was hitting so poorly at the major league level, and he's a frying pan behind the plate where you can't deal him. They are, I think, tied to Henry Davis now. And I don't know about him in right field. Because last we saw it was bad, and I don't know about him at first base either.
Right.
I don't know how good of a of a fielder he would be there. And I don't know if the bat's going to translate. It's a disaster. A disaster. All right, coming up next, I have a question for the guys here. If you've been paying attention to something, we've got Neil Walker coming up at 9 o'clock. Schedule change. We'll talk to Dan Zangrilli perhaps tomorrow. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. The great Neil Walker going to join us coming up in 10 minutes on that Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Real quick, we were talking about the lack of development for hitters under Ben Cherington's tenure. And isn't that all the more reason to go out and trade for a hitter or two who has a proven track record of success that you don't need to tinker with?
Right.
Like, they've done a good job with the pitching. I think that's inarguable. Just look at their pitching staff. But hitting, they have not. You've got a surplus of pitchers. Go get a hitter or two. And if you do, I think you're going to have a chance in this thing. But I think all this is falling on deaf ears, or it's preaching to the choir, I guess, is what I'm looking for. I think every single Pirates fan listening to the show right now feels the same way.
Yes.
We were just watching the field hockey at the Olympics. It looks miserable to me. Have you watched any of this?
Never.
Oh, my God. It's like hockey during they played on a field.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And instead of, you can't use your backhand. You cannot, you're not legally allowed to use the back of the stick. So you have to flip the thing over backwards and forwards.
What?
Yeah. So they're like jiggling the stick back and forth, making moves, and it just, you're good for forearm strength, I guess, but it just looks miserable. There's so much of this Olympic stuff, man, that obviously I could never do.
Mm-hmm.
None of it looks fun.
No.
Like swimming, fun, fine, okay. I watched 45 minutes of these people biking through the rain, and when they were done, it looked like every one of them wanted to throw up.
Half of them fell, too. Did you see that?
Oh.
They were getting crushed.
Oh. Did you see the one woman who wound up winning bronze? One of the last times she raced, she fell under a guardrail, and it sliced her leg.
Oh, my gosh.
And she thought she broke her femur, and I was like, oh, that's nasty. And then they cut to her in the hospital bed, and the gash on her leg, it had to have gone all the way around her leg.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, what these people sign up for, man, it's nuts.
Oof.
Like, field hockey looks miserable. Water polo looks miserable. You're just treading water the whole time. Look at this bike thing they're doing right now. Just biking over rocks.
How many different Olympic events are there?
A million.
Right?
There's a ton. Fencing, I think, is pretty cool. I wish I would have gotten to fencing back in the day.
You probably would have been a decent fencer.
Why?
Oh. You just look like you have the body for it.
I think as far as like the athleticism it takes to do any of these things, I'd like to take my shot at the fencing. I feel like I might have a chance at that.
Mm-hmm.
Handball, I could probably have done at a low level. You could probably have been on the damn handball Olympic team.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the things that you think you could do?
Like in my prime?
Yeah.
Basketball.
You could have played for like Serbia or something.
Right. South Sudan.
You play for the Lithuanian basketball team. Is he good? Well, he's athletic. All right, that's an upgrade.
Here we go.
Yep. That's fine. I watched the surfing thing too, and I had to turn it off. Not because that guy's butt cheeks were exposed because his swim trunks went down, but I had to turn it off because they're just sitting there in the water, and you got to wait for waves. They're just sitting there. Like half the thing was just, all right.
That's one thing in my life I would probably never attempt to do.
Because of the sharks, right?
That, yeah. And I just don't think I can stand up on a surfboard. Like, I could never skateboard.
Did you ever do the skimboard? That's a thing you take on the beach, and you throw it down, and you have to run, and you jump on it?
Yeah, I think everybody's done that.
Okay. Well, I mean, you look at me like I'm crazy. Kalis, you ever skimboard? You know what I'm talking about?
No, I haven't.
Okay, see, not everybody has done it, Dory.
Well, no.
You throw the board, and you run, and you jump on it.
On your stomach, right?
No. You're thinking of boogie boarding.
Oh, yeah.
Skimboarding is, it's like a flat board, and when the waves are like very low, like super shallow, you throw it, you sprint, you jump on it, and you slide it, you skim. That's why they call it a skimboard. But I've seen people take gashes in their shins because the thing gets stuck in the sand or it goes flying off. People run and jump on it. They fall on their backs. Yeah, it's terrible.
I know. Yeah. Good.
Yeah, surfing, man. I could never stay on a skateboard.
There's no chance.
Mm-mm.
That's tough.
I saw some of the equestrian thing. I guess I could ride a horse.
Yeah.
Because the horse is the athlete. That's one I don't get. They're really good at sitting there while the horse does amazing
things. Like, are they athletes?
Yeah, right. Like, I'm sure being a jockey's not easy, but, like, the horse is the athlete.
Right.
Do you think NASCAR people are athletes?
Oh. Oh.
To me, an athlete is an athletic movement.
Oh. I think they're probably more of an athlete than the horse riding people.
Yes. So
I used to think that NASCAR.
Quick twitch.
Mm-hmm.
I used to think it wasn't. And
reaction
then
time.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then I saw this program where it was like, you never think about how much it takes, like what focus it takes, and like the physical exertion on your body to control a car and maneuver.
Going 200 miles an hour.
Right. Like it's not something anybody can do, and it does take a toll on you physically, and it takes an intense amount of focus to be good at it.
He said he watched a program on that.
A program, yeah.
My grandma.
I don't know what to call it. It wasn't necessarily a documentary. It was just this. It was this thing on Nickelodeon when I was younger. They were trying to convince us of why NASCAR people were athletes, and I'm like, yeah, I buy that. That's true. Not everybody could do that.
What is going on?
I wonder if we didn't interrupt him, how long he would go.
He would have went the whole. He went 3 minutes.
My grandma died. She was 96. She refers to TV shows as programs and stories. And we got Callis regaling us about Nickelodeon from yesteryear.
Yeah.
And we got Neil Walker coming up next to talk about the trade deadline.
Oh, wait. I got another thing to say. Oh, and I forgot.
Neil Walker going to join us next to talk about the Major League Baseball trade deadline. First, though, fam weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. It's the Chevy Summer Drive at Sun Chevrolet, up to $7,500 in rebates. Terms and conditions at sunchevy.com. Today, high 87, low 66.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.